Hello and welcome back to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We are Rochelle and Carter. This is now our third week of this series, Finding Jesus in Our Favorite Christmas Movies. The first one was A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. Last week was A Christmas Story.
Yes.
This week is Home Alone 2.
Yeah, we're not going to get to that just yet. We're going to get to what you were saying before you just became Mr. Nice Guy. Because you were being Mr. Not Nice Guy.
Okay.
Carter.
Well, then let it begin. What?
So my shirt.
Rochelle wears a cheesy Christian shirt every week.
Excuse me.
That's your bit.
Sometimes they're just true statement shirts.
Well, that's true.
And sometimes they're just nice shirts. Like last week, I wore a perfect example of just a nice Christmas shirt. It was shaped like a Christmas tree.
Yeah. And it had the
wording
verse.
For Luke chapter 2.
Yeah.
The Christmas Story.
What is it this
week?
This
one says true story.
And the O is like almost like a Christmas ornament with the nativity
with
scene
the nativity
in the middle.
Scene. It was like, this is a true story.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, true story. And you were like, we're going to do your cheesy Christian shirt bit. And I said, well, it's not a cheesy Christian shirt today. And you went,
well, it's something my aunt would wear. I mean, I think it is.
And what's that? This is, I'm just going to be, speaking of true stories.
Okay.
That triggered me.
Sorry.
So mad.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, I really legit liked it.
And well,
you're
like,
that's something my aunt would wear.
Okay, I didn't say it like that.
You didn't say it like that, but I received it that way. I received it that way. And then I'm like, maybe I'm triggered because I've crossed over into that place.
You've
not. It's knowing like, the difference.
It's like ugly Christmas sweaters where you compliment, I love your ugly Christmas sweater. Yeah. And then it turns out they were wearing it non-ironically.
Yeah.
That this is just their Christmas sweater.
That is what you're comparing me to right now. So, now, yes.
Did you say?
Wait.
Okay.
Just give me a second.
Okay. Breathe. By the way, if you are listening, because we've done this podcast via audio like Apple or Spotify for years, but it's just been this year that we've started on YouTube. So if you do want to see this shirt in question, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893.
Nothing wrong with my shirt.
Did you say you had a gift for me? Is that what this bag
I'm taking it back. No, I'm not. I'm not taking it back. But there have been times where, like, because Carter's like a fun guy, you like ridiculous dad jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are so cheesy. So it's hard for me to differentiate why that is separate from the cheesy Christian t-shirt.
Like, because cheesy Christian t-shirt has an agenda.
So does cheesy dad joke.
What is it?
To make everybody's
groan,
eyes roll.
And it accomplishes it. Perfect.
But you literally love the joke too.
But not always. No, not always. But some of them, like let's take the mosquito shirt for example.
Well, okay. That
there are people that they don't wear that ironically.
No.
And that's when it's like, okay, now it feels weird.
Open your gift.
Okay, all right.
This is a gift that I've had and I forgot to give it to you last year.
Oh man. Okay. Oh, is this a mug?
It was in my Christmas box to give away things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, this is perfect to give to you right now.
Let's see here.
A mug.
It's Kevin.
Yes.
It's Kevin. And it says, bless this highly nutritious, microwavable macaroni and cheese dinner and the people who sold it on sale. Amen. That is his prayer before dinner.
And it's Home Alone. Regular.
It's Home Alone. It's the first one. Yeah, it is the first one. We're doing Home Alone 2 today. Though, you can find past episodes, audio only, but you can find when we did this series the last couple of years, and Home Alone, the original, was one of the episodes.
But
so,
Home Alone
thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
That's a great gift.
Home Alone 2 remains your favorite of the two Home Alones.
I go back and forth.
Have you looked at 3? Have you looked at
3? No. Now you're no. Now okay. We've
home
talked about
alone.
We talked about orthodoxy before, right? Of what's in actual Christianity, for example.
Okay.
The orthodoxy of Home Alone is if it's not the actual Kevin McAllister, if it's outside the first two, it doesn't count.
What about the one that Disney Plus did a few whatever's ago?
I don't care.
You watched it. You said it wasn't that horrible.
It wasn't that horrible. It doesn't mean that I can officially count it as in the orthodoxy of Home Alone.
In the orthodoxy.
Yeah.
Do you think you're skating on thin ice here in terms of like using words like orthodoxy?
The orthodoxy of Home Alone.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, again,
right.
I think you need to always include the Home Alone part.
I do. So let's get started. It's Home Alone 2.
Go back 15 seconds and see if he did on that last one. I'm pretty sure he did.
The orthodoxy of Home Alone.
There you go. Well, you did just now.
Okay. So what we
now
do.
Now I'm being all like, meh.
We find biblical principles within these movies as we watch them year after year. And you kind of just start to, yeah. They're just a part of the culture. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh yeah, you know, that's what Ralphie does every year, you know, when we watch it and all that. But no, what are literal, like we found a lot of communication errors in their marriage last week with the mom and the dad. And so it's great to just reflect and go, we want to live Christ-honoring lives. So when we watch these movies, how do we process that? And this is Home Alone 2's week. And let's start off with this. Somebody points it out.
Yeah.
And this is for both of them. It's implausible. It is absolutely implausible that they sleep in till 8 a.m. with that many kids in the house.
It is.
There's no way.
Depending on when they went to sleep, though.
Well, that'd be a good point.
and there's like, if there's like the ratio of teenagers to younger folk, the teenagers are going to probably sleep in.
Teenagers will sleep in. That's for sure.
My son's like, it's 1 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's still out. What is happening?
I don't know about Fuller, because Fuller's going to have to get up a couple times to change the sheets.
Well, the problem is that Fuller doesn't get up in the middle of the night. Therefore, the need for changing of the sheets.
Or just pack the rubber sheets. Yeah.
Okay, so we start with Home Alone 2. And forgive me if I'm wrong. Is it the church scene that we arrive upon first?
There's the I believe a scene before it where they're just kind of all getting ready. But then okay. Yes, they're immediately almost at the school, the choir, you know, and the recital. And this is where Buzz decides to glow Kevin's ears from the candles from behind and also drum on his head during Kevin's solo.
If you are one of those people, and God love you if you are, that laughs during this part. You may be a lover of dad jokes.
Hey, you nailed it. I laugh during this part. Yeah.
So I don't laugh during this part at all. It again, the word triggersome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to use it here. Drives me crazy.
Because if this is a perfect example, you have two boys, two teenagers.
I have two boys. So I had an older brother.
If the older one decided to do that during the recital, what would you do?
Well, what wouldn't I do would probably be the better question. What wouldn't I do?
Yeah.
Because if we are at that point where they have gotten to this place in life where they think in a public forum, this is okay kind of behavior.
What have I done?
Which honestly, if I'm truly, we have to be forthcoming. No parent is perfect.
Yeah.
And we went to this incredible space here in Texas, it's in College Station. It's this wonderland place for Christmas time. And they have on this ranch area real snow for kids to play in, mm-hmm. okay? Among, let's say, the kids there, it's, 10% teenagers, 90% littles.
Sure.
So my kids are in the 10 percentile. And they're the only two, by the way, in this particular place on this ranch inside the snowing type, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of different things to play in. So there they are on a mound of snow tackling one another.
Yeah, they are.
17 years old, 14 years old.
Surrounded by 4-year-olds. Yeah.
And they're like, ooh. I am screaming at the top of my lungs, which I don't like making a scene in public places. Because they can't hear me over the noise. And I don't know that I'm allowed to go in there and pull them out by the ear. And my husband and I, we had this look of like, if you are watching this, if you're not watching, you're not going to see the look, but it's like this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just.
Like just.
There's no hope.
So, I mean, I can't really like be all, I can't be looking my nose down at maybe the parents at this point, because there's always the possibility that they're going to act up. Their friends are prompting them to be ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But no, this part, no, I wouldn't dare do anything like that in a public place as a kid. Well, are you kidding me?
No. I think that's why you do see that Buzz doesn't have that
filter.
He doesn't have the filter, and yet he can talk his way out of stuff, I think. And that's where I kind of really keyed in on when they get back home.
Yeah.
And there's this, for some reason, all family meeting. They're all in there. The extended family, too. And Buzz is apologizing publicly to Kevin. And he's just, you know, just this ridiculousness. It's not real.
He sounds like he's talking to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he does say that.
Yeah. You know?
And so he after the fake apology, I think that this is so good with Matthew 5:45. This is the words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, mm-hmm. for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And this is Kevin's life, mm-hmm. both the beginning of the original movie and the second one, where it's just not fair. It's just not fair. Buzz gets away with it. They get all this pizza or he gets away with this. And Kevin gets riled up by life not being fair instead of taking personal responsibility.
Well, because it's been modeled for him that if he was to take personal responsibility, his brother is still not going to be charged with justice.
And so he's that's frustrated, true.
Right?
But this is where we're at as, you know, as a people, as Christians who you may have just an office job. And it's not fair because whether you didn't get the promotion or so-and-so, they always get to be late. Nobody says a word when they're late, but when I'm late. And I think that's just on those type of things where we have to turn the other cheek.
Yeah. Oh, no, we should.
It's hard.
It's very hard. So again, when we're talking about this movie and we're looking for the Jesus perspective in it, it's very easy to say that this 10-year-old should have taken responsibility.
Well, of course,
when that kind of thing has never been modeled for him. That's like saying he should know the Gettysburg Address without studying.
Sure, no.
Or ever hearing it before.
And this is just for us to take away, but you're right.
But yes, however, there is, I believe, and I think this is why we know that we need Jesus. There is something inherent in man. There's that God-shaped hole, as it's sung about in the song, in all of us, that recognizes the gauge between good and not good. Mm-hmm. And so pushing your brother so that he falls off the bleachers and it ends up knocking everybody off of the risers. And then now this poor woman who just did not see it coming is knocked backwards from the piano.
Me and my dad laugh every year. Every year. Because it's
Just, goodness sakes. He at that point probably realizes, oops.
Right.
That wasn't right.
Yeah.
That was wrong. But... and that's the word that gets my kids in trouble. That's the word that gets me in trouble. But no, because accountability goes one way for a Jesus follower. It doesn't matter what the but is. It's like, no, but what does Jesus tell us to do?
But that's life with all people.
Yeah.
Because we all want to say, I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah.
Well, who's a bad person? Yeah. And you throw up, you know, Hitler or Mussolini or whatever. Okay, well, what's the other end of the spectrum? Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesus. Well, where are you? Mm-hmm. And I'm you know, I hate to say it, but I am a lot closer to the bad end than I am the good end.
Well, especially because you laughed at, you know,
the lady falling over on the piano.
And Buzz.
And Buzz, for that matter. But with Kevin's, the rest of his reaction, I think this is key to that, too. One, we have to recognize we're not inherently good people.
Right.
And two, when we are believers and we have this truth and we know that we're covered by grace, Kevin's reaction— by getting riled up, it also allows Buzz to win. Mm-hmm. And he just gets to walk off smoothly and be like, I riled him up. It worked. I got away with it. Mm-hmm. Instead of forcing Buzz to wonder, how does Kevin have the patience?
Yeah.
Because I really screwed up his night. I embarrassed him in front of the whole town practically. And he seems to have this patience that I can't describe.
It can affect other people.
Yeah. What does he have that I don't?
That's right.
And that's why in the midst of being treated unfairly is when we should really dig into these principles and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22.
That's right. Galatians 5.
How about that?
In verses 22 and 23.
Oh, you got a song?
It was a song.
All right.
But no, the thing that you were talking about, inherently we do not have at our fingertips the gift of salvation. Like, let me say that differently, because we do. We have the gift of salvation at our fingertips because of what Jesus did for us. But we're not just 100% good without recognizing that we need that gift of salvation. But what is inherent is the knowing that there's something missing, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we acknowledge our sin, not only will God be true and just to forgive— as it tells us in scripture. But as you said, this is an example now for others in our lives. This is the one thing that we will have to drive home with ourselves every day until we go to meet our maker. Mm. Because we do get into self-defense mode.
Sure.
It's kind of part of the way we were created in terms of like putting up our hands when we see somebody about to strike us, in terms of wind hitting our faces and our eyes are automatically going to close. Mm-hmm. Our body is designed to protect itself. And we have been encouraged through what we've seen modeled before us to also become defensive in terms of our emotions and other things. Some less guarded than others, because perhaps they've been torn down over the years by somebody who even might be verbally abusive. But I also find in this particular scene, like you said, it is kind of funny that the entire family was invited in on this. They don't – the definition of crazy is doing the same thing over and over again without getting different results, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the movie Home Alone 2. Now, if we don't do the same thing over and over again, we don't have a sequel. We don't have Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern coming back and getting hit with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why we pay the movie ticket.
That's right. That's right.
That's why we watch it every single year.
It's the traps, man.
It's awesome. Yeah. But every single year, we see this family go through the same stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like torn on this one. And as a parent, I think maybe you can feel me out on this one too. I'm torn with thinking, whose fault is it that Buzz and Kevin and the rest of those kids, by the way, who are pretty negative and snotty, are talking the way that they're talking?
Sure.
We usually look to the parents. We should look to the parents instead of going, what a brat. No. We kind of create the environment that we're in.
Right.
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 But then there's that part of me that I was thinking about this morning on the way to work. My brother and I were both raised by the same people. If he was here, he would not be like, oh, I'm defensive about what Rochelle's about to say. He'd be like, no, she's totally right. We were raised the same way, but we came out completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my brother will tell you, in his younger years, he had tendencies towards, I mean, he was a kleptomaniac, if there ever was one. Stole. And we were preacher's kids. You know? And he did it. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
He had this jacket that was specially he made where the lining was cut out. And spoiler alert, if your children are vulnerable and they're listening to this, you know, tell them this is completely wrong. But I will tell you, for a child, kind of ingenious at the same time.
Well, this sounds like something Marv would do, so this is perfect.
Oh, my word. Yeah. So, yeah, like with the sticky fingers.
The sticky bandits.
He was a sticky bandit, except he was way smarter than Marv. And he would take whatever it was out of the packaging so as to not sound off any of the alarms in the store, which we're talking back in the 80s when he was little. So there wasn't a whole lot of security happening there, and no cameras were set up or anything like that. He could go to the back of the store. He could take it out of his packaging. He could slide it through the liner so if he was ever checked.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So he had this down pat. And you look at the way we were both raised, we were completely different people. People
sure.
Were like, how in the world? Well, you can blame the parents.
Right. Well, can you?
Well, wow. Can you?
I know, right?
So you have to kind of treat every situation with kid gloves and go, well, what's going on? You may even happen upon a situation in a store where there's a special needs situation. And it's not that I want to give excuses to people, because my brother was still making choices. And he would tell you that he has come back in his life, God has redeemed the situation, praise the Lord. And he is a new person. He's just different all the way around. But he was diagnosed very early on with bipolar disorder, the same chemical imbalance that my father was diagnosed with. And so he was dealing with some stuff, and he was dealing with it in the wrong way, and he was making choices that my parents certainly would not have been, like, championing.
Yeah.
You go, man. What a clever thing with the jacket and the lining. So I was looking at that family, and I was thinking, they have put themselves in these circumstances. At the same time, Kevin says some pretty brilliant stuff.
Oh, sure.
Which we'll get into later, but we can even go back in time and look at Home Alone with the older man. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there in the church and he's saying this super profound stuff. And you're like, well, that has to come from somewhere.
Right, right.
You know, it's not just good genes. It's like he has seen something of moral value, something substantial. And I mean, Buzz has a little bit of a change of heart at the end of Home Alone.
They all do. You talk about all the kids talking bratty, and they all, like, even in that scene where they're in Florida and they get the call, okay, Kevin's New York. They're all pumped up to go.
Yeah.
They can't wait to see him. They all give him a hug, you know, when they get there.
Yeah.
Kevin gets to New York, and obviously.
Wait, don't get him to New York yet.
Okay.
The batteries.
The batteries.
That bothers me
so much.
Oh,
just at the airport?
Just like, okay, so they wake up on time, even though they overslept again. And don't you just like want to reach in through the video, like every time into the movie and go, you just unplugged the alarm clock.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my word. Okay, so they sleep in again, but he has that recorder machine, which I remember when this movie first came out to theaters.
Oh, I had one, yeah.
And yeah, the Talk Boy, is it called? They made such a big deal about it. I don't know if it sold as much as they were hoping, but so that's really cool that you – do you still have it?
It doesn't work, but I do.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to check it on eBay.
I should have brought
this.
It for this. I know, yeah.
Oh, my word. In fact, when you're talking, I might have to look it up. But I remember thinking about the battery situation and that he didn't have batteries. Dad says, wait, when we get settled, I'll get you the batteries.
Yeah. What does he do?
This is one of those circumstances where you can point back, like follow the trail backwards from being in New York stranded by yourself. And it all started.
Yep, by not listening.
By disobeying.
That's true.
Not even not listening.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between not listening, not hearing. Purposefully disobeying.
Picks up the bag when he had set the bag down. Yeah.
He wouldn't have followed the wrong stranger with the camelback. The camel hair jacket.
Yeah, and got on there, and then the headphones and the thing. Yeah. It's, you know, it's just a whirlwind. So he gets to New York, and obviously I just love the opening scene of just, that was one of those things I think what made, you know, that I feel like L.A. had the 80s and New York had the 90s. And part of that I'm sure is Friends and Seinfeld, but this was a big moment, Christmas in New York.
Yeah.
I remember that as a kid, just watching that as a kid over and over. And when we finally meet the bird lady. That reaction that Kevin has is not one of compassion.
No.
But we don't normally have that reaction out loud, but we do internally.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a good point.
Often I see somebody like that, I'm like, I'm not even gonna. And I go back and forth on, listen, if I go over there, I'll talk to him for a second. It may not even make sense. And then I don't have cash. I don't have a way to help them. I get that, those thoughts. But I never want to get to a place like this where my even internal reaction is, I'm not going to treat them like a human being. Because ultimately that's what Kevin's afraid, you know, and he's like, he just went ahead and shouted it out loud and runs away. But am I doing that in my heart? And that's what I really want to be warned of and stay away from.
Yeah. No, it's so important. Maybe one of the reasons why we shy away. Shirk away, whatever the word. Perhaps in your youth, I think I was more apt to not scream on the inside when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think we learn that over time.
Yeah.
I think when you're younger, you see somebody in need, you want to give. Mm-hmm. My children have proven that over and over again. What can we do to help them?
You know what my son did the other day? We see a lot of people on the street here where we live, but it's not usually that cold, or at least it hasn't been that cold in a while. And we were out of state up north visiting my parents, and we see a homeless person with, it was cold, and it was a blanket. Yeah. So he noticed it, and he said, "What that guy doing?" He's 3 years old.
Yeah.
"What that guy doing?" I'm like, "Well," I explained, "there's not everybody, unfortunately, has a home." Mm-hmm. And he goes, he come to our home?
Oh my, yeah.
And it was exactly that of just like, okay, well,
we have a home.
Yeah, we have a home, you can come.
And so what is it that we're taught over time? Well, sometimes people abuse the gifts that are given to them for help. Or sometimes, and I'm saying this very intentionally, sometimes people have been given an opportunity and they've snubbed their nose at it. Or sometimes they have, I don't know. They just, there's just a lot of circumstances that make us not necessarily want to immediately jump into action to help.
We start thinking of all the exceptions.
Because we've heard from people from organizations that are legit, that know that there are people who desperately just need to be in some sort of a location, a place where they can not only get a hot meal, but can also be encouraged to, all right, let's get you not only set up with the job, but now maybe a future address.
Sure. And,
you know, what are the steps that we can encourage this person to get their life back? And so that's the concern. So we give to that organization. In the meantime, what do we do with this person over here who might be strung out on drugs?
Yeah.
Because they've reached the end of their rapidly fraying rope. And they have given up. Do I do anything for that person?
Right.
What about the guy with the sign? I've been told the panhandlers are fake.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
All this stuff runs through your mind. And so it's so frustrating. It's really important to do our due diligence, find those good people that can help. And then, if possible, volunteer so you can be a part of it and see it and rub shoulders with people.
So on the complete other side of it, the I have it all, I'm rich, life is a dream, and this is where Kevin's at as he realizes this money, this credit card, the limo, and your very own cheese pizza
Yes.
And it really struck me because I think it was just synonymous with life. When we get to fame and fortune, mm-hmm. it can feel that way because Kevin's trip does, that you're on top of the world, mm-hmm. but it doesn't last. Even your very own cheese pizza is gone eventually. Mm-hmm. And that we can't live for that. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even think about what's going on. He has no plan.
No.
He's going to stay here until, I don't even think it's even acknowledged. What is going to happen when either he's out of money or he's caught and he's not even thinking about that?
What's weird is that he should already know.
He's going to at least get in trouble.
Because, well, he had this happen a year ago.
Right.
And... but also before the cheese pizza, why did he get the cheese pizza in the first place? Well, he set up a scenario where the hotel guy, the concierge, was a bit embarrassed. And there's so many things that happened before the cheese pizza, too. I also want to – he was very polite at the pool.
He was very polite at the pool.
Can I just say, the little boy who wanted to do the cannonballs.
Can I do a cannonball? Would it bother anybody?
Does it bother anybody if I work on my cannonballs? Not a problem. But you know what? Have you ever been that person at the pool who thought, man, these kids, they're cannonballs. But if somebody says, hey, do you mind? Oh, sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, true.
I saw this person the other day. I accidentally cut them off, and I saw their hands go up like this. And I immediately, before I saw their hands, I was like, I am so sorry. And immediately their hands came down.
Yeah, yeah.
They looked right at me and said, it's okay.
There is that instant. As soon as we recognize I've messed up, then people can go, oh, I've done that too. I've messed up too. But what they don't want is I'm coming over to your lane and you better, you know, that's what we all instantly think.
That's exactly right. So I love that. And I do. I think it's funny, the whole gum thing and giving the tip.
That's great.
He was working the system in there a little bit,
he was.
I think.
Yeah, he was.
Macaulay Culkin.
And then no tip?
No tip. And then he has the 50 bucks. Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
Oh, and can I say, when he's on the ride, and maybe you're about to get this, but it's right after he gets the cheese pizza and the concierge runs the card. Have I ever been rooting for somebody to fail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why is he even checking? Because he's embarrassed is why.
He's embarrassed, and he thinks something's up, and that Grinch grin, which Tim Curry's so good about that.
Yeah.
I almost said Carrie. Tim Curry, he looks just like him. He smiles because he is satisfied with the demise of an individual who could be a thief.
That is so true. Think about at work when you hear, so-and-so's late one more time, then they're going to get fired.
And then
you find out, they're late today? Oh.
It feels a little delicious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's disgusting.
Mm.
Lord Jesus, there's this incredible part of Psalm 139 that David says, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Sure.
Test my brain, see if there is any way within me that needs correction here. And that's a bold prayer because you are literally allowing God to go into the closet that you throw everything in and don't want guests to see.
Right.
The stuff under your bed, the stuff under your rugs.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good way to say that.
But yeah, I don't want to be rooting for somebody's demise. Instead, if there's concern, when he comes back, maybe we can help him.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something we can do to help him.
And even if he checked, but then approached him differently.
Differently.
You know?
Yeah, because we can be in the middle of doing something wrong and check ourselves in our heart and go, wait a second here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So the end of the limo ride, he goes to the toy store and there's
Best toy store ever.
There's Mr. Duncan, Duncan's toy chest, and it's amazing. And I love the principle, Mr. Duncan doesn't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing because he tells the story about the guy who started this toy store, but he doesn't say it's him.
Right.
And so he didn't want to brag on himself in that moment. I love that. I thought, because sometimes we both know an individual and he's great, but sometimes it's like, hey, good job, so-and-so. And he'll go, and then he'll just point up to the sky.
Right.
And say, no, but you really did hard work. You were disciplined and you listened to the Lord in this. And I want to give you I hope that you receive the compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought that was a great way of saying, here's what's true.
Yes.
You know, we're kind of on the topic of the toy store, but I'm not going to stay in this braggadocious way. You know what I did back when I started this. I thought that was a graceful way to handle that.
And I like the way that Kevin, kids think outside the box, like your little boy, will he come to our house? You know, and the fact that Kevin saw, and I never thought of this before, that is a toy store that is not obsessed with everything being on the shelf just so. Come in and play with the toys.
Yep.
he's like, it's really nice of Mr. Duncan for letting kids do that. Well, kids have always made him very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's just so giving also with the children's hospital and truly putting his money where his mouth is.
Yep. Yep.
And it wasn't just a fraction of the money. It was all the sales mm-hmm. today are going to.
Well, and when you talk about the kids coming in, it's like that's, you know, Jesus says, let the kids come in. That's so cool.
Yeah.
This is probably, well, we'll use the word orthodoxy. I don't know if I can get away with this spiritual point or not, but it made me think of it.
Okay.
Kevin with the pearls in the street where Harry and Marv find him for the very first time.
Before swine?
It wasn't that. It's his wisest serpents because he uses this street tactic. He's going to buy these things and then set the first trap of the movie and let them fall.
But I really do like cast your pearls.
And there they are as they slip on it.
There he is.
They're not going to receive him at all.
But if you have watched both Home Alone movies, then you know this kid is not as harmless as a dove. This kid is going to be the next strategist for the Navy SEALs because he knows how to do things within 3 hours worth of time.
Yeah.
In setting up somebody's demise. It's pretty incredible.
Well, and I think, and you may have more to cover in this section with the traps and all of that. I didn't have a ton of spiritual content because it's just funny what? And it's just, you know, but I think it's a lot like we talked a little bit about the self-defense last week. Yeah. He does the honorable thing and saves the day.
Yes.
Because obviously they're going to steal the money that's for the hospital. But then he goes into revenge mode.
Yeah.
Like he does not have to let them get in that building. He could have hid in that building, Uncle Rob's, you know, house and been fine and gotten away from it. And instead he invites them up with bricks and nails and tool chests. And yes. He does not have to do any of that. That's just revenge and fun on his part. And honestly, as fun as it is to watch, it's wrong.
Oh my word.
It's wrong that he did that.
I don't know if a doctor or a medical community has ever
hated.
How many times have they died?
It was at least in this one just once. I think at
just
least five or
once?
Six. No. In this movie, excluding Home Alone 1.
Okay.
In this movie, I think it was five or six times.
Yes.
The brick to the head alone. Instantly, right? You're falling, the tool chest, the falling again.
What is that noise in his nose?
That was the sound of a tool chest falling down the stairs. Oh.
Oh, my word, Daniel Stern.
Oh, so good.
Hilarious. Okay, he had to be vengeful just because of that. We needed our money's worth. It would have been such a short movie
right.
if he had hidden out.
Because it was one thing to set the traps in his own home.
Yeah.
Because they were coming in.
Right.
He did not have to do this time.
Well, no. He was taking this out. Nobody messes with kids on Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got this bit of information.
Right.
Before we get to that, too, because I don't want to wrap up those amazing traps just yet.
Okay.
I have a verse that kind of goes along with that. But there is something that both of my children, as we were rewatching Home Alone 2, they both kind of went, and looked over at me like, nope, that's not a thing. Bird Lady, who's just so beautifully portrayed by the actress. Mm-hmm. She's just, you want to give her a big hug and their loss that they broke your heart. Mm-hmm. You have so much love to give. Mm-hmm. So precious. But she says the line, did you know that one good deed erases a bad deed?
Oh, forgot about this part.
And it counts extra, Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, first of all, that's a lovely nursery rhyme.
Right.
This is a fairy tale. No.
Yeah.
But it does encourage children to start thinking, I want to do things that are worthy
mm-hmm.
and not unworthy. I would rather do good than do bad, and because he clearly feels bad about the things that he's done with his own family.
Well, you do see the merit system in this world. I think the world not only believes that, but does live that. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, somebody said something offensive or was caught doing something on hidden camera, and then what do? They go they get therapy, and then they do community service, and and it's the merit system of this world. And so, if you're living that way, then true. But spiritually, no, our sin is only covered by Jesus.
Exactly. I think there is something too, and I am not Catholic at all, but there are casual Catholics, which you've heard, well, if I do a bad thing, I'll just go and I'll confess it, say five Hail Marys, and I'm good. There is intent and purpose there in the prayers of the rosary to really somberly connect with, this is something I did, and I don't want to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
and it should be taken seriously. That's the purpose of it. And I think it's really important not just to quote, erase the thing either. Things that I've done in my past should not be a guilt albatross hung around my neck
right.
kind of thing. It's meant to grow me so as not to do the mistake again.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really important. And I loved what he shared about it. God tells us that you don't take a light and put it under a bushel, right? Jesus was like, no, you put it on a lampstand for everybody to see because it's light. And so he is telling this, the bird lady, he's like, why would you never love again? Mm. Well, it's like my ice skates, you know, or was it rollerblades? It was mm-hmm. rollerblades. Mm-hmm. You know, I outgrew them. They serve no purpose. You don't want to just not love again because you're afraid of getting hurt. Because the next time you try, it's going to be worth what you want it to be.
Yeah.
I thought that was such valuable advice. And again, I'm like, okay, clearly his parents are blind as bats when it comes to Buzz, you know.
Right.
But they're instilling something in their children to make them to make them ponder those types of things. And it was just very valuable.
I think honestly, the last thing I had, cause I didn't get all the way through it yet for this year. But I know it so well. And I was like,
we pushed you too. Cause you have a certain time frame that you like to watch this movie. And
not this one, I have a Jingle All the Way and a Home Alone schedule. This okay. one, I'm kind of like, it's kind of a floating movie, but I love it every year. But I think it's just at the end, the beautiful picture of community within the body of Christ with this lady. Mm-hmm. Here's two people who have nothing in common,
yeah.
and nor man nor woman nor slave nor free nor Gentile nor Jew. We are all one in Christ, mm-hmm. and so those social etiquettes that we follow. Well, you know, they're in this socioeconomical status, or you know, they live here, yeah. or it's like. No, we are one in Christ, and we have something in common with anybody around the world that yeah. shares the same belief.
And it wasn't like, I have to go fix her.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, I want you to know that I will never forget you.
And I
want to reflect on that, but I also want to talk about the guys. I do think there's something there with the traps. Interesting.
Because, well, let me speak to what you just said on that. Where you said you don't have to fix her.
No.
Well, we heard from that pastor the other day that the Bible gives great instructions, especially around Christmas time, a lot of hurting people.
Yeah.
And what is the advice the Bible gives? Is to mourn with people that are hurting.
So good.
And we do ourselves a good service to note that it doesn't say fix them.
And I think that's what he did, right? He bought her a cup of hot cocoa and he listened to her.
Yep.
And he said, I'll never forget you. And she said, don't make promises you can't keep. And those words, clearly, she was trying to give him an out.
Sure.
And also probably some really good advice, because we shouldn't make promises that we can't keep. But he took the initiative and he intentionally went back to love her so well and say, I will never, and this is proof. And as long as you have that, you'll remember me and I'll remember you.
Oh, Kevin.
So beautiful.
Love
and
it.
Hugs, and there's bird poop, and he still hugs her, and it's just great. But the I've been thinking about Psalm 1 lately, and just the encouragement of not, why would you hang out with somebody who's wicked, right? It's kind of a silly thing to say, but I don't want to keep company with people who are doing the wrong thing here. Because eventually, I mean, you've seen this in movies over and over again. Like Mean Girls is a great example of this. Lindsay Lohan's character is like going to do plastics work and she's going to hang out with the really cool girls because she's going to get good dirt on them, which isn't a good reason to, you know,
right, yeah.
do that anyway. But she becomes like them because she's keeping company with them. And that could also be said of the McAllister family. Please stop inviting that dumb uncle.
Uncle Frank!
Uncle Frank is a thief?
Wait, oh, yeah.
He probably showed my brother how to do the lining thing with the jacket. He's a horrible, he's on the level of the youngest children. They're like, oh, but it was hilarious when he made fun of everyone. He's triggering to me. Uncle Frank.
Oh, man.
So anyway, who's like, oh, it looked a lot better at our honeymoon, this hotel. Yeah. Oh, my word. But, the wicked, in this case, obviously the bad guys, it talks about how basically they're going to fall in their own trap.
Mm.
You know, they lay out these plans. I'll read it verbatim. It says, for those guys, they will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind, it says in a previous a previous verse. And the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked, it leads to destruction. Like you, let's say those thieves were smart. Because they're not. I mean, bless their hearts, they're not. They think they are. But if they were real thieves, they would have figured out how to get rid of this kid quickly.
Sure. Yeah.
But they
were just not approached him again in New York. Like, but, it would have been fine.
But regardless, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It tells us exactly what happens with people who choose 100% to go down this path of wickedness. Mm. How anything that I could hold against them is going to match what theirs is in the end. Just like the guy, the concierge, I should not be rooting for their destruction. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that I can? I mean, Kevin found redemption in the pigeon lady. Could he potentially,
you know,
go and visit these guys in prison?
And he could, and but at the same time, it's going to take their repentance, their heart change, their and we can. I just love this picture of. I heard it earlier this year, last year, and I just can't quit thinking about it when it comes to forgiveness, that Jesus, in his outstretched arms on the cross, forgave the world.
Yes.
Now, not everybody's going to heaven. So why is that if he forgave the world? Because what it takes for reconciliation, for restoration, is for the person that's been forgiven to come forward in repentance and receive that forgiveness.
Yes.
So just like, that's our example, that when somebody harms me, that I should have these outstretched arms willing to forgive at a moment's notice. That it's never, I'm not there yet. I'm not, you know, realistically, I know it's hard. We get there, right? But what it should be is that I'm always willing.
Yeah.
But the relationship is not restored. Mm-hmm. There's not reconciliation until they come forward and say, I hurt you. I acknowledge it. I'm sorry. Can we move forward? And then you go, hopefully, of course.
And then your scar becomes either a redemption story or it becomes a painful one.
Yeah.
You think about the M for McAllister.
Right. There's a scar.
On Harry's hand.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's got a tremendous story either way. Yeah. When this kid bested me. Or you know what? This came out of something where I was foolish. Mm-hmm. And I've learned a lesson. Let me tell you about it.
And this kid changed my life.
Yeah. So if there's any wickedness in me, as David prayed, Lord, show it to us so that we can ask for your forgiveness in that area of our lives and continue to process and become perfect, therefore, as you are perfect.
And yet, we're not always there. Just like Buzz has the heart change at the end of the movie, and yet turns in his brother. Yes, but at the very, very end, turns in his brother with the receipt and the room service and the, you know what? That's just brotherly love right there.
Poor Rob Schneider and that ABC gum. Oh. That poor man never got a tip the whole movie.
That's so great. All right, this has been Home Alone 2. We got one more, A Charlie Brown Christmas. It is coming up next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.